Welcome back to Shrek 3 Forums Podcast. We still don't have a name, but we do have another member today from... I have no idea where he's from. I really don't care. But our very own Supermod Redzerbetter is joining me and Ghetto Child, who is from A-Town Link. We're going to talk about, obviously, the most important, not even baseball story, just in general, the death of Corey Lytle, starting pitcher for the New York Yankees. We're also going to talk about Joe Torre coming back, A-Rod, where he's going to go or if he's not going to go, and whatever else we feel like talking about. So stay tuned. It's going to be a good show. So obviously, let's lead off with Corey Lytle, who sadly passed away today on a plane crash in Manhattan, in Upper Manhattan, at about 70th Street, where the plane he was piloting with an instructor crashed into a building. The details are still sketchy, but we basically have confirmed that Corey Lytle is indeed a casualty in this car accident, and our sympathies obviously go out to his family. And it's a terrible day, just not even for a baseball fan, just as a human being in general, because it's Corey Lytle was a good teammate, was a good person. Even when he was with the Phillies, I liked him. He was a classy guy, a good pitcher, played for the Yankees. My condolences go out to his wife and children. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that.
I'll go ahead and say something. As I was saying on the forums earlier, as I first posted on the clubhouse, I was at work when I first saw all this go down. And first reactions go down, of course, New York City plane crash, another major event. And so I couldn't bear the thought of, having this again. And so, but as the details came in and everything, small plane, fire didn't look that bad. And, of course I was still worried about everybody that was in there because, I didn't know it was an apartment building until I got in the car and started listening to stuff. I couldn't even listen to the TV. But I'm glad that, it wasn't more than what was the people that were killed, but then again, I still sympathize for those that were, and of course, for Corey Lytle. When I first heard that it was Corey Lytle, I was like complete and utter shock, because that would be the last thing in my mind. Corey Lytle was going to pitch, in game three if, Randy wasn't going to go, and now we're sitting here talking about him today in a plane crash. It's a surreal how, this can go down. And, of course, my condolences go out to the Lytle family. And as a Reds fan, we had him here in Cincinnati. And, God damn it. And, yeah, but that's what I got to say. Reds, are you got anything?
Yeah, I was the same thing as Ghetto Child, fellas. I was at work, I was sitting there, and my buddy was up front, and he said, look, this plane crash in New York again. We were starting to think that there's some terrorist activity going on again. So we had the whole 9/11 situation flowing through our heads. So I get on the phone, and I'm calling my supervisor, seeing if we're going to have to recall people and doing all that good deal. If you guys don't understand, I'm in the military, so if you guys didn't know that. But anyhow, we're sitting there, we're getting ready for all that, and then all of a sudden we just hear it's just somebody's, personal plane. And apparently, I guess he just bought this plane. I guess he's on his way to Florida, I heard today. And from what I'm hearing, it's a gas problem or something like that.
Yeah, what New York One reported was that there was some sort of fuel leak or something of that nature, and I guess he maybe ran out of fuel. I have no idea. There's nothing on New York One or anything else that, said anything. Right. Went into specifics, I guess, because of no sort of investigation. Right. Yeah. I don't know. One last thing. I guess Lytle played for 17 in his career. He was a good pitcher. He wasn't a great pitcher by any means, but he was a solid pitcher. He was a great teammate, and he'll be missed by everyone, including Sean Casey, who commented on Lytle being a great person, good guy. So rest in peace, Corey Lytle. My condolences to your family. Yeah. So moving on, I guess, to a happier note. Well, relatively happier. Joe Torre will be coming back as Yankees manager. Joe Steinbrenner and Joe Torre announced yesterday. I don't know how to react to that news, because I was sort of hoping that Torre wouldn't come back, I mean, I love Torrey. Don't get me wrong. I think Torrey's a great manager. He makes good in-game decisions. He's the kind of guy that a veteran team like the Yankees need. But, I mean, you know, just Torrey. I'm sick of the whole Joe Torrey sitting back there in the clubhouse, relaxed, you know, doesn't seem like anything ever bothers him. He's never, doesn't show any emotion ever. And I guess that's good for a manager, but, you know, God, I mean, I could use some fire in that team. If there's one thing that the Yankees lacked this season, it was motivation. They were just sort of playing the season out. They didn't seem excited at all. Not even when they swept Boston. You know, in the 5-game series, it seemed like the only people who were excited about it was the New York Post, and that's the paper that the bums, you know, wet their asses with.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, General. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think sometimes he does look lax in the dugout stuff, watching a lot of Yankee games every once in a while when I can. But you got to kind of have that focused on how much does he actually have to manage with all those superstars. I know a lot of people bring that up, but how much does he actually have to manage with all those superstars he's got on that team? I mean, I know every single team has to have a good manager, and Joe Torrey is by far a really good manager. But how much does he actually have to manage, and how much emotion does he actually have to show because of the talent that they actually have on that team?
Well, it definitely takes skill to manage that sort of a team, because you think, oh, yeah, Posada, A-Rod, Cano, Giambi, Abreu, Damon, Jeter, you know, Randy Johnson, Rivera, Moose, you could go on forever, you know, all these high-paid superstars that are on the Yankees. But, you know, you think this isn't, you know, MLB The Show, where you set your rotation and set your lineup and you simulate the season and bam, you win the World Series. It takes a lot of strategy, and it takes also not just strategy, but you have to be concerned for the players', you know, morale. And I think Joe Torrey moving A-Rod into the number, what was it?
Eighth?
Yeah. Batting eighth, I think that was a slap to the face of A-Rod. I understand that the guy's doing bad, but I mean, he's a benching. Don't bat him eighth. That's just, like, rude.
Well, I got one thing. As I was listening to Mike and Mike this morning, Golic made this one comment that Joe Morgan was talking about this whole, you know, should there be a change in, you know, New York, and would change be good? And he said, you know, all week I've been getting comparisons between the Big Red Machine and this Yankees team, but I don't see any comparison at all, because back when I was in, of course I'm speaking from Morgan's perspective,
right.
Of course, back when I was in Big Red Machine, we would sit there and we would communicate. We would sit there, watch the pitcher, watch what they're doing, see how they're pitching to one guy, see how they're pitching to another guy, see if he's tipping his pitches, how he's throwing his ball, his arm angles, all this. We would communicate in between the dugouts. I look over at the Yankees dugout, and they're all just keeping themselves, sitting on the benches, not watching anything. And that is
absolutely
a big mistake.
Absolutely, and I think that's the one responsibility that a manager has.
Exactly.
Not so much the in-game decisions. You know, that you can be second guess for anything. You put Rivera in the ninth inning, and he'll blow the lead, and your daily news is going to go, "Wow, why did you put in Rivera? He pitched in the past 2 days. Wow, should have put in Ron Valone or something." So BS. But the whole, I think, and this is just my opinion. It's probably wrong because it's mine. But what I believe is a manager's job is to keep a team functioning as a whole, you know, to have the players interact, to have them, you know, help each other. You're not supposed to just use the coaches to helping each other. For example, what was his name? Sean Casey suggested to Curtis Granderson that, you know, some minor change in the swing, and Granderson thanked him for that, and Granderson beat the Yankees, basically. He had a great series. And something that would never, ever happen on the Yankees because, well, first of all, there would be no young players on the Yankees like Granderson. And second of all, nobody cares. I've been to a lot of Yankee games. I think I've been like 5 or 6 this offseason. And
off season.
And, you know, in the past, plan. I've been to a bunch of games at Yankee Stadium with Torrey. And, you know, everybody just stands. There's very little interaction in the clubhouse. Everybody just standing around, sitting around, you know, spitting sunflower seeds, drinking Gatorade, whatever they do. Joe Torrey is never even seen. He's sitting all the way in the back with, you know, Don Zimmer, not anymore, but Don Mattingly, you know, whoever his bench coach is, I forgot. It seems like the guy on the whole team has the most coaching staff is the third base coach, Larry Boa, for Christ's sake. And, you know, that's saying something. When the guy who you look for to fire you up is your third base coach, that's pitiful. So I would have. Sorry if I'm monopolizing this issue, but I guess I have a better perspective on this. I would have loved to see Lou Piniella. Lou Piniella is not a good manager. He's not. Doesn't make great decisions. No, well, then again, nobody does allegedly. He's not overly motivational. Although I have no doubt in my mind that he would be better than Torre. And you know, he knows A-Rod, so I guess he would favor A-Rod more than anybody
else. And Randy Johnson.
And Randy Johnson from the Seattle days. But see, Lou Piniella has heart. And you can't coach heart. You can't, you know, force it on people. Lou Piniella has heart. You know, he's excited about games. He's gonna get the team pumped up, or at least as pumped up as they can be, which is, I don't know how can pumped they be, making $1 billion between themselves. But he's gonna excite the players into actually caring about baseball, and I think that's something Joe Torre is honestly incapable of.
And it all makes you wonder, you know, if they would have had that communication, if they would have had, you know, them sitting on the dugout watching the Tigers pitchers and all that, if they would have figured them out, would this be a different ALDS or CS that we're watching right now? Would it be, you know, the A's and the Yankees or the Twins and the Yankees, you know? Because if you would have watched, go back and watch that game that Rogers was pitching, and he was pitching lefties one way and righties one way. If they would have sat there and figured that out, they would have lit up Rogers, no problem. But what happens? The Yankees make him look like he's an ace.
Are you insinuating that the gambler is not an ace?
I'm saying that Kenny Rogers. I'm saying that Kenny Rogers.
How dare you?
At best.
How dare you? Cole Yankees is rolling over. Oh, wait, never mind. Whatever his name is. Rock Sports. Whatever. Rock Yankees in Detroit 27. He's rolling over in his grave right now. Kenny Rogers is a beast.
I'm just saying, how different would this be if they would actually, you know, have the... Because right now, all it is a whole bunch of overpaid guys playing baseball just to get money.
Yep.
They're not going out there to win. They're winning because of the talent, no doubt, but they don't have that motivation, that chemistry. Exactly.
So what it all comes down to is basically it's a bunch of superstars who feel they don't need a manager with a manager who feels like he doesn't need to manage almost because they are those superstars. They're almost basically a one-man team, and every single player is doing their own thing.
Honestly, it feels like you could make a movie out of this Yankees team, that it could be a comedy movie.
You can make a movie out of it.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, this reminds me of some major league or, you know, whatever other movie
this is,
that
where,
Twins
where an
were
angel
in.
Comes down from heaven and inspires everyone to play, and they win 162 games plus every game in the playoffs.
That would be nice.
That angel's name, Lou Piniella, he's not coming down from heaven or the broadcasters.
Well, you guys really think that this is the best Yankee lineup that has ever been created? I know everybody's comparing it to the Big Red Machine and everything like that, but
I think this is the best collection of players to bat 1 through 9. However, I don't think it's the best lineup. Nobody compliments anybody.
Maybe of the new era, but I don't think of all-time Yankees, because Yankees history goes back way time.
Well, you're not going to go to the 20s, but a recent memory, at least the past 25 years or so.
Maybe our generation.
No, because what I think is, all of these players have the potential, if they work together, I'm not saying perfect, there's going to be disagreements, there's going to be arguments, there might even be fights. But if they at least try to work together if they had the team chemistry of, let's say, I don't know, some mediocre team, if they had the chemistry of the Mets, they probably could have won 105 games, 110 games, if they worked together, and they could have easily beaten the hapless Tigers. However, they choose to swing for the fences, you know, and A-Rod strikes out, obviously, a lot. And, you know, Giambi walks, and instead of whoever bats behind Giambi, instead of them, you know, trying to move the runner across, they swing for the fences and the strikeout. And there's no sort of, you know, this is the speed guy, and then if the speed guy gets on base, you could bunt him over. There's no sort of small ball like there is in the National League.
It all goes back to fundamentals.
Yeah, which Joe Torre, by the way, does not coach whatsoever. All right, moving on. I think we've spent enough time on the Yankees today. Talk about the ALCS. Well, the NLCS is canceled. which it took ESPN about an hour and a half to realize that there was like 4 inches of standing water in Shea. But, you know, that's ESPN.
That's ESPN.
But the ALCS, you got the Tigers and the A's, and the Tigers beat down on Barry Zito today. Yesterday, excuse me, living in the past.
That game shocked me.
I was really hoping.
And how about Casey's nasty fall, man?
Hey, yeah. Casey's probably done what do you call it?
Yeah, I think it's been reported he's done for the
Yeah, he's playoffs. Done. He's done for the CS.
Yeah, it sucks because I really like Casey. I mean, he's not a great player, but him and Lytle and, you know, people like that are the kind of players that I like because they're decent players, but they're just generally good people. And I'm not saying that because I know him personally. You know, I don't have barbecues with Sean Casey.
Damn, I do.
Okay, well, you're from Texas. Shut up.
What does that have to do with you?
Nothing. Be quiet. You're interrupting me. I lost my point. Okay, hold on. I got to take this phone call from Jonathan Scherholz.
Okay, so to continue to this.
I think you should sign.
This is live. This proves to everybody that this is live.
Kenny Wickman, by the way. But, I love that, honestly. I told you should give him an option for a second year, but I guess, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Right.
He's chipping away Smoltz right now.
All right, guys. So,
2 years of 15. I mean, it's overpaid.
East Coast. Anyhow, East Coast.
ALT right now. Milton Bradley just... Or Ivan Rodriguez, my fault. Ivan Rodriguez has scored Magdalene Ordonez off a sack fly in the top of the second. It's tied 1-1, Detroit versus Oakland.
That's good. That's what we need, man. We need more of these players. Fundamentals, you know, not always hitting for the fences, but, well, General's off on his little, you know, trying to prove me up, but, I mean, how cool.
You shut your trap, ghetto child, all right? Oh, wait, I can't let you guys hear this. This is top secret.
Okay, but as Reds fans, me and you Reds, how cool was it to see Casey up there on top of that dugout, man, you know, celebrating with everybody?
Oh, I mean, that was a great feeling to actually see that, because Sean Casey's been one of my favorite players just because of his attitude, you know. You know, I sit there and talk about, we all talked about it last year, about, you know, this team needs team leaders, and even this year we needed leadership, and I think Sean Casey was it, you know, after Larkin left. And just to see him be able to actually be in the predicament he was in until he just got hurt yesterday, you know, I thought, you know, I was all about the Tigers just for Sean Casey. I was all about him. You know, not only that, they've always been an underdog, and they showed up this year big time. But Sean Casey being added to that team earlier in the year, that helped me a lot to just be like, I'm all about the Tigers because – Sean Casey's my boy. He's the nicest guy in baseball, and everybody will tell you that.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, it was a good story about one time Mark McGwire got walked or something, and he was standing on first base, and Sean Casey was supposed to play behind him, and Sean Casey was holding him on because he wanted to talk to him.
I remember that.
So he's just one of those talkative kind of guys, and he's probably one of the guys that just – I would want my kids to look up to as an idol, because he's all about, you know, passion for the game and passion for people.
Exactly. Like I was saying in the second podcast, how it's hard to find these players these days that are all about baseball and not about the money. And Sean Casey is a prime example of, you know, love of the game. Goes out every day, proud to wear whatever unit, it was the Reds. You know, and then it was the Pirates. He's proud to wear any Major League uniform. As long as it has that Major League logo on the back by his neck, he's proud to be there. And
Are
you guys still talking about Sean Casey? Jesus Christ.
Me and John
discussed potential trades in the offseason, which I cannot comment on, but okay. Look for Jake Peavy to be a Brave by April. How about that?
No, right. He's going to stay a Padre for sure.
And how would you know? I just spent 25 minutes talking to John Scherholz, okay?
He's the franchise. Unless you trade over John Smoltz and Saltamacchia or whatever his name is, you ain't getting Peavy.
You know what? I love Smoltz and everything, but if it's Salty and Smoltz or Peavy, I'll do it. But yeah, we're gonna trade for A-Rod, and then we're gonna trade A-Rod over with the prospects of the Padres. I can't tell you which prospects, obviously.
But you can tell us it's A-Rod.
This is all, wait, time out. This is all contingent on A-Rod, you know, dropping his no-trade clause. I'm gonna have to give A-Rod a call and you know, ask him if he wants to come to Atlanta, though. Right, so I just look for that to happen.
I just traded PV and Thurstrite same league for, who did I get, Upton?
Well, that's because you're an idiot. That's because you're an idiot.
Dude, I got a nice little
package. That's the worst move I've ever seen. I passed it, but that's because I hate San Diego, not because it was a fair price.
No, man, I was getting offered some crap, though, but...
Man, you should have kept PB. You don't trade an ace for some decent, like, prospects and crap. I'm trying to keep my cursing now, can you tell? Come on, man. Friggin' BJ Upton? He's a good guy. What was he, 8-8-8-9 or something like that? Jeez, that friggin' Jake Peavy. You don't trade an ace for crap. Mediocre.
I haven't even messed around with my team for a little bit. Let me see. I forgot why I even got...
Hey, guys.
You failed. NLCS. You GMing.
NLCS. We'll see. Cards and Mets.
Cards and six, baby. Cards Steve Trachel will prove me right and give up like 15 earned runs in three. Well, okay. Here's my line for Steve Trachel. His next start, 3.2 innings pitched, six runs, five earned, zero strikeouts, three walks. Steve Trachel proves that he's the least intimidating pitcher in the major leagues, minus Tim Wakefield.
There you have it. Cards write it six. Down.
Stone General. Cold lead pipe lock.
I think if Randolph allows the Mets to actually pitch to Pujols, then Pujols can carry this team, but I don't know because Roland's hurt. Cardinals were so suspect at the end of the year. I don't know if you know, but then you look at the Mets rotation too, and they're having their struggles as well. But I mean, this first game tonight, you know, I put under the Cardinals playoff thread.
Hey, if the Cardinals are suspect, Glavin's what about the Tigers? They were like terrible at the end of the year. Not even almost as bad as the Cards. Actually, probably worse if you make the argument.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I'll give you that.
They almost
swept. Well, then again, they were playing a Yankees team that hasn't won anything. I mean, there have been babies born. They're about 7 years old. They have not won. 6 years old,
haven't seen the Yankees win the World Series.
Exactly.
Hey, what about your Reds? When's the last time you guys won the World Series?
Hey, I don't want to hear. We're talking about this.
Ooh, was that a low blow?
No, it wasn't a low blow.
Yeah, that's right, because your Reds suck.
Thank you.
We all have our opinions.
I said it.
Oh, I agree.
I forgot.
You won't find a Reds fan on Strike 3 that doesn't probably agree with you.
I forgot. You guys are all, like, depressed and stuff. Like, oh, Reds, why do they suck so bad?
And you were depressed about your Braves not making...
What Braves? What is this Braves? What are you talking about? I know no Braves. I know sissies. The Atlanta sissies.
You bleed Yankees white, huh?
The Atlanta, we don't play in June, missies. I don't know.
Okay.
No, I'm a Braves. I'm a Sissies fan, okay?
Sissies.
Sissies fan at heart.
Anyhow, I really thought the Mets would have had the game tonight. You know, Glavin, he's got 12 scoreless innings in his last two starts. He's beaten the Cards in two in a row, including seven shutouts his last start at home against them. You know, what's his name? Who's going for them? Weaver?
Weaver, yeah.
He was tacked for 15 runs in his last 17 innings versus the Mets. You know, I just the pitching matchup alone had me picking the Mets tonight.
Stat boy.
Like Glavin's a wussy. Glavin's a cheap bastard. Okay? He left Atlanta for $1 million and an option year, right? Screw Glavin.
I think he's getting old, but...
Die, Tommy G.
He would have won tonight.
No, you wouldn't.
I can't tell.
He would do the Braves choke and give up like six earned runs.
I can't tell.
He shut out the Dodgers, didn't he?
It's like his buddy Steve Trachel.
I can't tell if General Trachel has like a hatred. A
perpetual hatred for the Mets. You damn straight.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's only because of that or if he has a hatred towards Glavin because he left Atlanta.
No, it's both. I hate the Mets, but friggin' Glavin, that... If he doesn't leave, we might even win 2002. When, you know, not 2002. He was
2002.
I hear you. 2002.
I hear you, man.
2004 and 2003 and 2005. And maybe
you want him to 2010.
You want him to be like 7-21 in June, but no, Tom Glavine. Well, for $1 million a year and an option year, is going to leave Atlanta and go to that shithole out there in Queens. Ugh, disgusting.
That's okay, ridiculous.
That's the end of that. Okay, what else is on the menu? The championship series. Corey Lytle, rest in peace.
What about D'Angelo Jimenez and that error he made last night for the A's? I thought that was crucial. Did you guys get to catch the game last night?
Did I tell you my TV's been off for the past 2 years?
Oh, yeah, that's right, General. You're grounded, that's right.
Please.
The only...
Grounded. I ground my mother, okay? She doesn't ground me.
Oh, okay.
That's just how I roll.
Anyhow, I was surprised to see DJ do that, man. But I was actually cracking a smile on that one.
He's
man,
former Red, but you're stand
this kid. Could not stand that dude. Was crucial.
Here's an article I just pulled off the Chicago Sun-Times, which I can't really...
Chicago.
Chicago. But it says that Pinella is interested in the Cubs job. He says...
Hello, Pinella. Mike Ditka's going to come in and coach the Cubs to the Super Bowl.
He said, yeah, I've talked to the Cubs, said Pinella, who's broadcasting ALCS for Fox. Chicago is a wonderful city, and the Cubs are a very storied franchise. They have great fans. I had a nice conversation with their general manager, Jim Henry. He's a real baseball guy. We will have to wait and see what happens.
I think Girardi's going to get the job over there.
I think that's the only way Girardi's going to really coach again.
Oh, no freaking way, man. I absolutely disagree with you on that. I think he's a perfect fit for Chicago, and I think, you know, the whole, you know, he played in Chicago, but I don't think there's any way in which Girardi doesn't get a job within a year.
Yeah, I
no
think
way.
He's
none
a year.
Whatsoever.
I cannot believe the Marlins won that many games this year.
The Marlins are stupid. Oh, Jeffrey Loria, he said you're a terrible owner. You are a terrible owner. You cheap. Never mind. But you're terrible, and he called you out on it because he cares about his team and about winning. And what did he do? You fire the guy?
He's only mad because he isn't getting a stadium deal.
He's mad because he was abused as a child. He was beaten by his stepdad or something. I don't know what his problem is. He's a terrible owner. Terrible owner, terrible decision maker, terrible person.
I like what the GM, whoever the GM is over there, I like kind of how he does his fire sale. Look at the future of that team over there.
You know what's going to be the future of that team? When all these guys hit arbitration in 4 years, he's going to trade them all. The payroll's going to be down to $450, and then all three of the Marlins fans are going to be like, oh my God, the payroll is down to $5.
They're going
to
be hiring border jumpers.
And nobody's going to come to their games again. And the Marlins are going to continue to be a disgrace. It's not that they're a bad team that they're a disgrace. They're a disgrace because of the owner.
I don't see how MLB lets them put up with this.
Bud Selig has no testicles, so what do you expect?
This is true. It'll probably be another 4 years before he puts anything on it, just like the steroid scandal, too.
What steroid scandal?
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
My eyes are closed.
This time it counts, okay? God. You fans, you're so whiny. Jeez. I'm Paul.
Back to Pinella also. You know, you kind of get you intrigued about us wanting to see Naren fired, and at the beginning of this year saying Pinella's going to be the manager because Castellini got a hold of him. Kind of gets me intrigued thinking maybe Pinella might actually have interest in coming back to the Reds.
Nobody has interest in coming to the Reds.
I really, as much as I'd love to see Sweet Lou back in Cincy uniform, I really don't see him coming back because I think his time here in Cincinnati's done. And he had a great year, got the championship, but I don't think he could do it. Because then he'd have to be, you know, to come back to a franchise that he won a World Series for, the expectations are going to be way too high for him. And, you know, he's going to come back in there, yes, you know, Sweet Lou, World Series 1990, sweep, wire to wire, you know. And then we go back, and we're just barely pushing 500. He'd be gone the next year.
You think Jerry and Aaron had anything to do with the Reds being?
Did you hear the report that they were
winning as many games as they did this year?
No, no, I really don't. Jerry and Aaron is—he put out so many bad lineups that it wasn't even funny. I mean, the games that I went to when I was in June, Chicago White Sox. It was the third game of the series. It was the fourth game of the series. It was like on a Sunday. He put Juan Castro bat in second. You don't put Juan Castro bat in second. You just don't. That's unholy. Unholy.
Gino, are you all right, buddy?
Huh? What? Oh, you guys are done about the Reds? Fine. Oh,
so we'll let you sit here and talk about your Braves and your Mets. But you can't let us talk about our team.
I can't let you talk about the Reds. They're not a viable discussion topic. They're terrible. Reds and the Marlins and the New York Mets should be merged into one big ball of crap. The new Florida Redlegs, winning 69 games a year. All right, you could merge all three teams and you still wouldn't win in the playoffs. I hate the Marlins. Okay, yeah, I'm having a long day, so I'm just rambling now. Really long day.
What team do you guys think should be a big surprise next year? Tampa Bay?
No.
We've been saying that. We've been saying Tampa Bay for years now.
I honestly think that
the Reds,
Toronto Blue Jays.
Didn't we say that last year, though?
The Blue Jays at the beginning of this year.
The Blue Jays.
They have a great team. They're just in a horrible division.
And guess who I'm going in the NL?
Where?
The Braves?
No, the Braves are going to win the division just like everyone expects. But in the NL, I'm going with the hapless Marlins.
You make no sense.
The organization is terrible, but they're a good team. I mean, that's the whole point is they put together good teams, and then Jeffrey Loria ruins them. That's the whole point I was trying to make earlier, but totally failed to. But that's the point, man.
Kind of like Kansas City Royals in a way. You know, they bring in good people.
No, they're just bad in general. Like they never put together good teams. They're just bad.
They don't put together good teams, but they usually have one or two good people like Carlos Beltran.
And then they trade them for like friggin', you know, Jeff Kepinger or something.
Matt Stairs.
Hey, Matt Stairs, don't you talk about Matt Stairs. You want to die?
What's the deal with him? What's the deal with him anyway?
Wish?
What's the deal with you,
Reds are better, all right? What's the deal with you, Matt Stairs? Do not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain, okay? You said Matt Stairs more than enough.
Hey, he does some couple pinch hits this year. I know that.
I'm going to send Fisher Cat to your house, and he's going to kill you for mentioning Matt Stairs twice in one sentence, okay? So, for penance, you have to scrub Matt Stairs' jockstrap in your tongue. I don't know.
I'm not worthy.
You're not worthy to do that. That's right. You gotta clean his locker or whatever. Okay, we're talking about Matt Stairs. Does that mean we're out of material?
I think it does.
I think it does too.
Should I just start the song?
Yeah,
play
great
that
time,
funky
guys.
Music, white boy.
We're playing the music.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Canada.
StrikeTheForms.com.
Lay low, I'm thinking down.
Hey guys, just like last time, we're gonna go ahead and, you know, pay our respects to the guys who make the show possible. Once again, Mech77 is the dude, or El Deuterino, or, you know, if you're not into the whole brevity thing, or Deuter, that's a nice one too. So, yeah, you know, send some rep his way. He's not a big Strike 3 guy, he's a football guy, but he's a good guy, that's all that matters.
He's a good guy.
I tried to meet him the other day.
There's Lynch. Lynch is another good guy. He sort of comes off a little strange sometimes. He's a good guy, though. Mission, obviously, makes the show tick. RZ, the tech guy, fellow Braves fan, love him to death. Fisher Cat, obviously, from St. Anselm, where the fuck he goes. Ooh, pardon me. Pardon my French. Wherever he goes to college. And, of course, our very own Heads Are Better, the handy helper of Strike 3 Reforms. Yeah, that's right, I called you a handy helper. So yeah, this is the General from New York City, and thanks to Ghetto Child and Reds Are Better and myself, obviously, for making this happen tonight. And you were listening to Layla by Derek and the Dominoes.
And
good night.
StrikeThreeForms.com.